There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve Jordan Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron, who is bringing back M-Wire in the future. That's right, folks. Movie Week in Review is making a comeback soon-ish. Any teasers you want to give, Steve, before I reveal the film we are talking about today in this episode?
So I'm thinking that this rendition of the podcast, one, I will finish some particular spotlights that were missed the first time, naming Pirates of the Caribbean.
You finished that.
No, there was a final film I never covered.
Really? I thought you finished it.
I went back and I'm pretty sure that I didn't do that.
Huh.
But I'm also learning from listening to the older M-Wire of what I do and don't want to do, as well as looking into the original concept that I had for the podcast when I pitched it to M-Wire.
Yeah.
Well, before it kind of changed into what it is or what it was and what studio kind of is a better evolution of the original M-Wire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking to not only do kind of a shorter 5 to 10 minute video podcast with it, but also the option of doing it as a audio program again. Now, if I do the video portion, I'm also going to export it as audio and publish it on the same feed.
Mm.
So there will be that option as well.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Yes, folks. All right. Well, as far as studio goes, it's been a weird 2025. We got up to Fast and Furious 6 with the Fast Saga. We will finish that next year for the overall franchise's 25th anniversary, hopefully. In this episode, which is episode 152, we are going to be covering a film that will be 20 years old next year, Mike Judge's Idiocracy. More details on that in a moment. We are over 150 episodes of this podcast in 6 years, 2020 to 2025. Holy crap. Yeah. Wow. Over 150 in 6 years. My goal was to get it to 200 before the end of the year. Unfortunately, because of life events with me going on and arm surgeries and other things, it's just not going to happen. But we will get to probably 160 before the end of the year, because I've got Star Wars content already done. I've got other content already done. So all that stuff and everything else. But like I mentioned, we're here to discuss 2006's Mike Judge directed Idiocracy.
At the dawn of the 21st century, the Army began a top-secret experiment.
Meet Joe Bowers, our first subject for the human hibernation experiment. As you know, this is highly classified. However, if successful, we believe humans can be stored indefinitely.
However, the trial run was prone to human error.
See you in a year.
And Joe slept slightly longer than expected. Half a millennium, to be exact. From Mike Judge, creator of Office Space and Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, my God!
If you were the smartest person in the world,
this goes in your mouth, this one goes in your butt. Hang on a second. This one goes in your mouth.
And we're stuck with the dumbest people in history.
If you have one bucket that holds 2 gallons and another bucket that holds 5 gallons, how many buckets do you have?
Two?
What would you do?
Excuse me, I'm actually supposed to be getting out of prison.
You're in the wrong line.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. You got the highest score in history.
Even smarter than President Camacho.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of America!
In the year year 2505.
We got this guy. He's going to fix everything. So you smart.
The ordinary will be considered extraordinary.
I thought your hair would be bigger.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
You had mentioned this. What was your... What? I know why. Because basically, real life is imitating art.
I've seen a lot of articles popping up about this particular movie recently. Yeah. And what's funny is, for the last several years, I've been joking about it to my wife, and I've been joking about it to, funny enough, the two guys that are working in the same office as me. We all know the Idiocracy slogans and jokes and can almost quote sections of the movie without ever having to watch it. And then we'll throw the joke in the office, kind of like you and I do here on the podcast. And if somebody's never heard us talk nostalgia speak, they have no idea where we're going with it. But we get the inside joke and then we cackle internally. And that's the same thing that happens in the office with this particular film. What I found funny is that there have been multiple articles, like Collider had one that said this dark cult classic comedy is finally a streaming hit on Netflix. And they're like, for some reason, people started talking about it again in 2016. And now possibly for the same reason, people are talking about it again as Idiocracy has, you know, climbed the Netflix charts. And what's funnier, too, is that CNET also covered the same thing. You know, commentary of the 2006 satirical movie about a dumbed down dystopian future feels less like a parody. And then even Mike Judge has said pretty much the same thing. I didn't expect it to become reality. It was supposed to be kind of this sarcastic social commentary about the stupidity of mankind. And well, here we are. And so I've liked several of his films, like Office Space, and of course he does King of the Hill. And the co-writer of this film also wrote Tropic Thunder, which I liked. But again, that was Robert Downey Jr. I'm a dude playing a dude, isn't, you know, disguised as another dude, you know. And so, I mean, the writing on it is brilliant and quite funny, especially with the actors they chose for all the different roles. They kind of fit the persona that they were given. And I for one, I saw this movie so long ago.
Yeah.
And I saw it with my wife, and then we didn't see it when it came out. I think we saw it on like a library, or not a library, a movie rental place run that we were doing, and that was how we got to see the film the first time. It absolutely bombed in the box office. It's funny because it had a $2.4 million budget. With the amount of there were special effects in this, makes you wonder how they got it done for $2.4 million. In today's films, a good portion of them use 1,000 times that and look like epic garbage, and yet these somehow had like the monster truck, had the flamethrower, had the Oh My Balls show, or you know, and all the different shows that were on there. The dystopian future links up. They did it all for $2.4 million, which is amazing. But it's also scary that everybody wants to be entertained to the point that they are becoming stupid. They're letting the AI and the computers run their brains, and they're watching the garbage that's on TV, the reality stuff, and it quite literally is rotting our brains little by little. And those are the people you see in all of the media. Like, you don't see a lot of the intelligent speak. You see a lot of the stupid. And it's sad that we're at a place like this. Not getting political, but just say what you will. Like, it's been going downhill for a long time. It's just, it's progressively getting worse faster. So this film, I felt like at this point in time was kind of appropriate for the level of, you know, it's like, oh, we don't agree with your statement on, you know, especially when Secretary Not Sure Joe, because he's a librarian in this, just playing it safe, not worrying about anything. It's funny when they're yelling at him because he's like, oh, you got to put water on the plants, not, you know, Rondo, which is essentially Gatorade.
And
they're like, oh, you mean like from the toilet? And he's like, well, it doesn't have to come from the toilet.
And I cringed at that.
But it's Rondo. It's got what plants crave.
No.
It's got electrolytes. What are electrolytes? You know? But I don't know. The film in general, I feel like it shouldn't be a social commentary. It should just be fun and stupid.
Yeah, but it's a social commentary.
Yeah, but it's anti, you know, it touches on, you know, anti-intellectualism, commercialism, consumerism, all different kinds of weird genetic trait issues, voluntary childlessness, you know, because Carl's Jr., you're an unfit mother. Carl's Jr., we have possessed your, you know, have taken your child into protective care. It will be raised by Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr., F you.
Yeah, that was a little bit out there.
It was out there, but it was weird. Like, and then how he was able to talk himself out of jail. Oh, yeah. I'm actually not supposed to be getting in today. I'm supposed to be getting out. I'm in the wrong line.
Yeah.
Then he hits him on the head. You moron. He's like, get in the other line.
Yeah, that was crazy. And yeah, like, it's just, I see movies like this. I see movies like, I mean, this really isn't comparative to The Fifth Element, but even some of the stuff in there, like with the sir, are you human? No, I am a meat popsicle, and the cops believe, you know, like, but you know what I mean? Like, okay, granted, The Fifth Element is not so similar to this, but the point is that they have one similar thing about the, like, it and yeah, just, I don't know. I enjoyed this for what it is. I thought it was funny in certain parts. There were other parts where I was just like, no, thank you. Nope. No.
Well, yes. Like the streaming on the toilet?
No.
Yeah, that's, I see us in very much that category with all of the amount of streamers and people we have on online nowadays.
Okay. Okay, the only thing I have never actively seen this movie. I need to go see it. I need to not go see it, but I need to seek it out and watch it. It's called The Imposter. It was with Gary Sinise. All as I remember from this movie is the trailer. And in the trailer, because it's done in the future. It's one of these future movies where they have voice technology for everything. And he goes into his bathroom and he turns on the shower and he's like, voice activated music, play whatever song it was. Okay. That's the only time my phone is in my bathroom is when I turn on Spotify and I put the music on full blast and it's inside my bathroom cabinet mirror thing, whatever. And I'm in the shower. Music. That's it. I am not watching Netflix while I'm on the toilet. It's just not going to happen. It's the only way.
Come on, man.
The only way you could ever the only way you could ever get me to watch anything streaming in a bathroom is if there was a TV mounted to the wall. And currently there is no television mounted in my bathroom. my bathroom wall doesn't even have enough space to mount a decent sized television. I think there's probably enough space in there for a 13 inch flat panel or less. But I obviously understand what you're saying, and I understand what the movie is saying too. But like, and that's the thing, like, you know, it's where that whole meme is: go outside and touch grass, get offline, do this, do that, and oh my God, there's grass out here. Who knew? Open a curtain, you fool. You know, like I do that. I go outside. I go for walks. I do this. I do that. At the same time, I'm still plugged in enough to where I catch most of the news stories or most of the things that I find interesting to me or most of the things I follow, usually a day and a half before most of the other friends that I have catch the stories. But yeah, this also kind of this movie kind of reminds me of WALL-E a little bit too.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's kind of like, you know, just piles and piles of garbage piling up, and WALL-E and Eve have to fight the good fight and fight the man and whatever else. And again, I liked this for what it was. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was funny in certain places. Like I said, I didn't dislike the movie. There's nothing in here that like, oh my God, my knickers are in a twist or something. No, look, I grew up with Freddy Krueger and Jason and Chucky. And if I can deal with all of them, I can deal with skibbity toilet streaming.
Ugh, no. My kids even are like, oh, it's
yeah, I so know.
Disturbing.
I know.
And I'm like, what the heck is this crap? Why are you guys speaking this weird language? It's like,
I know.
It's like in this movie.
I know. Yes.
Speaking this weird slang, and Joe is like, what are you talking about? He's like, the time machine, man. And he's like, oh, there's a time machine. And he's like, yeah, what'd you think it was? It, you know, a real time machine? You must be some kind of idiot. Like, I don't know. I get entertained by the level of stupidity in some of this stuff. Now, the purpose of this entire film,
mm-hmm.
just the rough of it was Joe and Rita. Joe was a just average dude, army librarian selected for this experimental hibernation procedure. And yep. Rita was a prostitute, and they were supposed to be placed in a state of suspended animation for a year. Yes. And then the guy that was running it got involved with the pimp. And so the military base closed down, and they were long forgotten. And they wake up 500 years later to discover that the country and world has been taken over by the least intelligent people. And their president is a former Ultimate SmackDown champion turned adult film star and politician. And every citizen is tattooed with a barcode. And I just think of, why come no tattoo? Mm-hmm. Why come no tattoo? Unscannable! So they've gotten a drought and devastation everywhere because these morons decided to use an energy drink called Brondo to replace water.
Yes.
Even for irrigating crops, but they still use it in the toilet. So the water cuts into Brondo's profits. So Brondo bought the FDA, which seems like a somewhat realistic scenario. And everyone wears Crocs. And I guess this was the movie that put them on the map. It was a startup. Like it was seriously like they were like, what are the most stupidest shoes I can find? And they put them in this movie. And it became a, like, my kid wears them, like, oh, the God. Walmart version, but it's still like he wears them.
Oh, no.
Drives me nuts. I'm like, how do you sit in there with plastic shoes? But anyways, so the film mocks, you know, the media, the government, the, you know, capitalism. It mocks the fact that there's uneducated people, except for Costco's, you know, law school. They got a law degree at Costco. Because Costco apparently has everything, even the time machine. And then they don't even have roofs on part of the building anymore. they have a train system that goes to the store, and every store and TV channel has some violence or you know, sexual act or just, you know, it's dystopian. It's funny, but it's, again, it's very disturbing, like kind of showing the lack of thought behind anything. And it's quite sad that we're living in this version of history. And again, like, it's been going downhill for a long time. It's just, we're seeing the crazy come out of everybody. And so that's what's making this even more relevant. And I think people are noticing. And it's like, can we just be normal, please? Can we go back like 20 years ago where people were somewhat normal? But yeah, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Joe, anyways, in this whole thing, because obviously Brando not only owns the FDA, but the Department of Health and Human Services and the FCC.
Yes.
But he has to go to rehabilitation as part of his thing, which is basically monster truck rally to die on a jumbotron.
Yeah, like,
and by accident, Fredo, who played by Dax Shepard, who plays a doofus extremely well.
Yes, he does.
Drops the camera and it starts recording the plants growing and people see it.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh. And so Rita and Joe marry and have the three smartest kids in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone else is so dumb.
Yep.
And then at the very end of the movie, they leave off with a joke about it going to having Upgrade, the pimp, waking up.
Yeah.
Which I never caught. It took me years to catch this. I didn't even know. Like, somebody told me about it. They're like, did you see the ending part? And I'm like, what ending part? And they're like, Upgrade comes. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And they're like, yeah, he does. And then I looked it up on YouTube and I was like, holy crap, he does. I would have never guessed that. But yeah, I'm glad they didn't do a sequel, because I feel like it would have been as, this is one of those time in a bubble films that worked really well for when it came out. It's like Dumb and Dumber or Super Troopers should have never had a sequel.
No, never.
This is lightning in a bottle. Yes, it was a cult favorite, and now it's actually a mainstream cult favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Super Troopers and Dumb and Dumber were kind of the same thing, and I feel like the fact that they came out with a sequel and they're coming out with another sequel to Super Troopers, which was an early Empire episode, I think like episode 6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're doing this is just, yeah. So I'm glad that this film is getting the recognition that it deserves. Yes, there's a lot of stuff in it that,
yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily watch this film again, but at the same time, I have it so well memorized. It's so difficult to remove from my brain just because I remember everything about it. But it's entertaining, regardless. Watching the evolution of Carl's Jr. and Fuddruckers, which Fuddruckers is no longer around, but it turns into a totally different name by the end of that.
Yep. Yeah, this was a movie that I never had on my radar until you had mentioned it. It's not a movie that I would ever go back and revisit it. I'm glad I had the experience of watching it. It was interesting. Like I said, it was funny. I enjoyed it. I like it, as you've already said, as a one and done. Does not require sequel, threequel, fourquel, fivequel, sixquel, sevenquel, nightquel, ninequel, tenquel, threequel, whatever. Does not require a whole universe. Does not require it to tie to any other universe to get it to do crossovers or any other stupid Hollywood bullshit that they might want to try to do with it. It's another example of a good 1-2-3 beginning, middle, and end, one and done story.
So there is a I have to open my mouth. There is a possibility. In 2012, Cruise said he was in the talks with the director, Judge, mm-hmm. and Fox over a possible spinoff featuring President Camacho.
Okay, a spinoff is fine. That's, yeah.
And it was set before the 2012 election. Then he reprised the character in a web series of short sketches for Funny or Die mm-hmm. before the 2016 election. And then
okay.
they had some Idiocracy themed campaign ads. And then they also have Cruz. I guess they didn't use the ads, but they filmed them.
Mm.
And because they had Camacho wrestling in a cage match against other candidates. And then now, apparently, there was, as far as like 2024 anyway, there were conversations about reviving it again as a comic book.
Okay, now that's, all of that is fine, because here's the thing. Everything you just mentioned, 2012, 2016, has already happened. It's not currently in development as a sequel film. If you want to do a comic book, fine. If it happens as another medium that is not a sequel film, fine. If it happens as an animated series, fine. Comic book, fine. I'm more than fine with that, because I feel that in a different medium, it can, you can do different things with it. You can tell a different story with it, and it can be fine, and you can still go to the only film it has, the only film that it needs, which is the one film, Idiocracy, from 2006. Because, like I've said, Hollywood has this need to just, if any movie, I don't care what movie it is, but if it makes its money back and then it makes profit off of itself, they're like, oh my God, it made all this money. Great. Great for us. Let's make a billion more movies based off of this. So at this recording, I just released a Geekcast Radio episode. It's a new convention attention episode. It's the first time we've done a New York Comic Con convention attention with my buddy Bradley, and we were talking about this exact thing, and we were talking about movies and budgets and box office and the whole back and forth, and how not every movie can be Avengers 2012 or Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. Not every movie can be a $1 billion box office for these Hollywood studios. And that's okay. Like I said, as long as you make your money back and as long as you turn a decent profit where everybody on the project gets paid, good, great, awesome. That's more than fine. Super Troopers was episode 7 of Movie Week Review, released August 21st, 2009.
Nice.
Yup. I still haven't seen the second one.
Don't.
I don't.
It was terrible. Like, they literally had, there was like a whole scene where they were like doing a stretch in the balls thing or something. It was just,
oh no, you guys.
I was like, come on guys. Like, it was sick. Like, and it was like Rob Lowe or something. And like, oh, in God. The scene, and it was just nasty and gross. And
you guys, but yeah. All right. So let's go through some of the questions that we have here at the studio. Did the film keep your interest throughout?
Yeah, I laughed pretty much throughout the film. It's still entertaining to me, despite the fact that it's kind of raunchy and dark.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And same thing with me. There were only a couple of times where I was like, don't really like that part, but it's okay. I can you know, look past it and whatever. So yeah, absolutely. Would you recommend this film to people?
I would, just because, again, as sad as it is, it's a social commentary on where we are now. And at the same time, it feels like a warning sign for our society of where we need to not go. And yes, exactly. I feel like, yes, it was funny as a cult classic film back in the day, and nowadays it speaks an entirely different message. It's still entertaining and hilarious to watch, but it's also scary that we're at some of those points in society. I mean, they even have like police state stuff. If it doesn't scan your barcode, like they literally send robo taxis to go after you and start like shooting at you. And you know, it's very scary, like where some of the stuff's headed to just in it. But I feel like it's still a better film than people give it credit for, even though it bombed in the box office decades ago.
Yeah.
Like it made, I would say an eighth of the money back, or like a quarter of the money back that it spent to make the film.
That's not good.
Well, it made like 484,000 and it was like the 2 point something million.
Yeah, $2.4 million.
Yeah. Really? So wow. They were $2 million in the hole.
Oh boy. Well, that's probably why I didn't get a sequel anytime soon.
And again, I hope it doesn't. It was good for the time. Leave it alone.
Yep, exactly. 0 to 5 with half points. What are you going to give Idiocracy on the geek meter?
I'm going to give it a 4.5 just because it's still a pretty fun movie to watch. There's a lot of good quotes and interesting ideas in it. So I would give it a 4.5 just on that alone.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4. I'm only taking a point off for a couple of the gross out moments that I just couldn't get past, but that's just me. All right, folks, that's gonna do it for us here inside Studio 2009, also as a crossover with Movie Week in Review as a soft relaunch. As Steve said at the beginning of this podcast, he's gonna be doing a bunch of different stuff with Movie Week in Review. It's not gonna be what we do here at Studio 2009, but as I said before, or at the top of the show, coming up here on Studio 2009, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up. Probably the next thing you're going to hear is coming up in November. We are going to be discussing the newest thing from Netflix that will be coming out November 12th, because we are both very excited for it, but it is the new documentary Being Eddie. We just saw the trailer for this recently, and it's all about Eddie Murphy, and holy crap, cannot wait. That is gonna be so fun.
Yep.
And then after that, I got to figure out something for episode 154, and then after that is gonna be returning to 12 months of Star Wars, probably for majority of November, and then into Dark Side December, and that'll probably be the year for 2025, and then 2026. Who knows? I don't know. So that's what's coming up here inside Studio 2009. Any final thoughts, sir?
I don't think so. I think I'm looking forward to covering some movies again, not only here on Studio, but in MWire, and kind of bringing some of that energy back in a different format.
Very cool. Very cool. As always, folks, you can visit geekcastradio.com. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com. Buy our stuff. You know, you want Geekcast Radio merchandise. You've been asking for it for years. No, unfortunately, nobody's been asking for it for years. But seriously, who wouldn't want a Geekcast Radio mouse pad? I've got one right here.
No, I'm just playing. I don't use a mouse pad, but the desk pad looks interesting.
Yeah. Okay. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. We're on all the podcasting clients. You can join our Discord. The link will be on the website post. Join us next time when, like I said, we'll be discussing the new Eddie Murphy documentary, Being Eddie. I think my favorite line from the trailer is where he says, "I'm everybody in the scene and everything in between." I love that line from the trailer when he says that. That is so friggin' cool.
I think that's Nutty Professor.
No, he says that in the trailer himself.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like,
I don't know.
Might be discussing the Nutty Professor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably, but it, yeah, anyway, he's saying that about, he's probably talking about that, but he's talking about himself, where about his work ethic, as far as I can tell. I don't know if he's specifically discussing Nutty Professor, but what I, from what I understood watching the trailer, was how he works is, that's how his work ethic is. He can be everything, kind of thing. So yeah, that's what's coming up next. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio and on Movie Week in Review very, very soon.
In a world, there, I said it, happy. Yeah,